The days are getting shorter, but the lights couldn't be brighter. This time of year, baseball is different, and the whole world is watching. All of the clutch hits, the game-saving grabs, the plays at the plate, and the head-first slides under the tag. That's peak baseball. Experience all of the autumn action. It's postseason season. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike DeTeo along with Charlie Long in studio. Kind of breaking it up today, Sports Talk. Also talk about Tropical Storm Francine. As of 4 o'clock, still a tropical storm, 65-mile-an-hour winds. The speed rate of movement now has increased to 10 miles an hour. And so that's the good news about this. Its window of opportunity for strengthening is getting shorter and shorter as it gets closer to the coast. The negative news is there has been a much more of a shift than we've seen it over the last 24 to 36 hours, more toward the east, where, and you know, at one time Lake Charles or Lafayette, and now Lafayette to Morgan City. And if you kind of look at a lot of the projections now, it looks almost like a Morgan City Homa. So it'd be St. Mary Terrebonne entrance for Tropical Storm Francine, which they all saying that it expected to be a Category 1 storm as it hits. And any movement toward the east brings into the Bayou, River Parishes, Plaquemine, New Orleans, Metairie, Kenner, and also on the North Shore, and all our friends out along the beachfront and everything out in Mississippi are going to have more effects from this storm as it seemingly has shifted a little bit more toward the east. And we'll have a lot more information because once it gets rolling, normally you'll get a pretty good opportunity to see kind of where that head in. But now it looks like this will be a St. Mary Terrebonne entrance for Tropical Storm or Category 1 Francine. Let's go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Let's go to Jimmy and Gretna. Jimmy in the huddle with Mike and Charlie.
Hey, Mike and Charlie. Look, I'm still stuck in traffic, man. I'm trying to get a loaf of bread for my wife here.
You made a bad decision doing that.
Yeah, right. You know what? I don't know, man.
You made a bad choice.
They even want toilet paper. I don't know why, but I see a shortage there. But it's like Lord of the Flies, Swamp yeah. People version.
That's true.
Out here. But, hey, look, just like, Mike, you guys got that heritage, the Cajun heritage in down the bayou. You know, Plaquemines Parish has a lot of Croatian heritage. I just want to mention that for all those people, if it keeps, prayers for the people down in your neck of the woods and Plaquemines Parish. But I think we're going to be okay. It's going to be a big rainmaker.
I think so.
Anyway, look, listen, the reason I called, I told this to Charlie. Explain this to me and break down the starting quarterback for Tulane, because when we talked about this summer and, you know, the replacement of Michael Pratt, I was like, okay, I heard about the Oregon five-star transfer, and I was like, wow, Tulane's got a five. Yeah, I was like, wow, Mike.
That's the reason he left Oregon. That was the reason.
Yeah, and when they got him, Mike, I was thinking, okay, he's a shoe-in to be the starter, right? He's a five-star from Oregon coming to Tulane, no question about it. And then you look at Kai Horton. He's got experience. He's been with the program for a while. I thought he'd be in the mix. But unbeknownst to me, the freshman from California, I thought he'd be the third string, didn't know anything about him. He comes in and starts the first two games. And he played really, really well against Kansas State.
Yes.
And I told Charlie, I'm like, this guy is one of the most poised freshmen I've seen, like, in a really long time. So I want to get your take. Explain to the listeners and me the deal with this kid, Mensah, a little bit more about him, because he's a mystery man to me.
Yeah, California recruit, was not super highly recruited. I got asked during, I think, midweek last week, give a comparison. Now, I'll preface this by saying I did not see Jordan Love at Utah State early in his career. I kind of caught him after maybe a little bit more than a year. There are some similarities there of, you know, starting the career. They sort of built the same, but, you know, his setup and his delivery is really smooth. He's got some movement skills. He can throw off the waggle really good. He's got a strong arm, that, and he'll get stronger as he matures physically. But you see all the elements, and Jimmy, I can't describe it. He's got the it factor at quarterback. And how, and you brought up the word poised and just his calm nature. You know, you need that quarterback to be the calmest guy out there. But it's his reads for a young quarterback to see what's open and where to get the football to. That's a lot harder than you might think. It's a jump from high school football to college because of the speed and quickness of the game. It's the same thing to jump from college to the pros is immense, too. Not because of size, speed, and how well he's handled that. And he was in a competition, as you brought up, Thompson, five-star recruit, really good runner. He's been matza as a passer. And Kai Harton, he had some experience. We saw him against Ole Miss last year. He did a really nice job. But when you see the talent of Mensah, you say, wow, that guy's got the it factor.
And the poise, that's a great term, Jimmy. I mean, the great, great term for when describing Mensah's play. He just seems so poised as a freshman, redshirt freshman guy. And going back to the QB competition, yeah, Ty Thompson, as you mentioned, we've talked about his accuracy issues, Mike. He's not a great thrower.
And he can run, though. I build a package for that.
He's very athletic, but and he can be used in this offense for sure. But Mensah is just, like, he stole the job. I remember we talked with Gary Smith a couple weeks ago before their first game against Southeastern, and he was just like, yeah, they'll probably play all three quarterbacks, but Mensah's looked the best. It was just like, Darian Mensah, really? Like, that kind of came out of nowhere.
And you don't know until you know.
And then when he gets out on the field, he played great against Southeastern and the kind of limited snaps that he had there because Toon Lane did play all three guys. But then against Kansas State, you're thinking, okay, like, let's see how this kid looks against a top 25 squad. And poised. Yeah. That's exactly how he looked. Yeah. And I like the comp, Mike. Jordan Love, that's an interesting one for sure.
I heard even somebody said Lewis Reddick sort of went that same route with it. But that's what we sort of – I did not see Jordan Love very early in his career.
At Utah State.
But there are some physical similarities between the two of them. And Bobby brought this up to me yesterday. He's like, Mike, you always talk about doing in the diaper for a young quarterback. He didn't.
He did not do that against Kansas State.
He now, did not
going
do
on the
it.
Road to Norman against number 15
we'll
Oklahoma.
See. That's a big test.
He was very impressive against Kansas State. We'll see how he looks against Oklahoma. And, you know, when we were talking with Coach Summerall, when I mentioned Mekhi Hughes, the best friend of a young quarterback is a good running game. We talk about it all the time.
Man, and look what it did for Derek Carr.
Yes, but talking about these young kind of quarterbacks, this Mensah's going to be playing his first true road game at number 15 Oklahoma. They're going to need Mekhi Hughes to take some of that load and a little bit of the pressure off of Darian Mensah so that he doesn't have too much on his back and on his shoulders to perform.
Yeah, one of the things with Coach Venables, he is a magician in kind of whipping up exotic blitzes, and they come from different areas. He did that at Clemson.
Yep.
He does that at Oklahoma. And one of the reasons that he's got to do it at OU, you don't have a tremendous amount of talent on the defensive side of football. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870. Mark Schlereth will join us. Odyssey Insider right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelier along with Charlie Long in studio. And on our Oakwood Heart Jewelers talk and text line, we have on with us Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereth, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. Mark, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. I'll be honest with you. In watching the Saints offense play, it was like, pinch me. Come on, 9 straight possessions you scored? It's like, you got to be kidding me. Even in the wildest dreams for Saints fans, you'd have never thought you'd see that type of efficiency. And, Mark, we talk about it so often. They won in the trenches, and I thought that was the key to this football game.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. They were tremendous, and there's a couple of things, you know, that really resonated with me when I was talking, or resonated with me when I was talking to Dennis Allen, I talked to, you know, Clint Kubiak, and I talked to Derek Carr, and as I was prepping for the game. And I think a couple of things. One, that's an offense that Clint Kubiak has brought to the Saints that Derek Carr is so familiar with. And it's the offense that he absolutely loves. And I talked to him years ago. I did a game when he was with the Raiders, and John Gruden was his coach. And he loves the offense. He's so comfortable with the offense, the verbiage of the offense, the reads of the offense, all those things. And, of course, there are a few little, you know, wrinkles and details that have changed a bit. But the base, the root of that offense is the same. And so that is, you know, a huge comfort for Derek Carr. And then I think the other thing that's really interesting, because you talk about Clint Kubiak, also he's got an assistant that it was a guy that I'm very familiar with that I've known forever and that was a coach with the Broncos when I played there by the name of Rick Dennison. And Rick is kind of, you know, a senior assistant, and he does a lot of the run game plan and all that kind of stuff. And he's a big believer, and this goes all the way back to my Denver days, of what we used to call it run it or tank plays. And what that is we're going to call this play regardless of what we get. It's good against everything. We're going to call this play, and we're just going to come off the ball and try to shorten your neck. We're going to run it regardless. And in today's game, it's really interesting because a lot of these young coaches that get jobs, you know, they sell these owners on, hey, man, we've got the perfect call for everything they give us. So they call it premium plays. We're going to get into premium play. And the problem with being in a premium play, and you may be like, hey, we're going to run towards the down safety or away from the down safety, or we're going to run, if a guard is uncovered, what we call a bubble look, we're going to run to the bubble or away from the bubble or whatever the, you know, whatever our game plan is. The issue with that is oftentimes it has you playing on your heels. And you just want to line up and just want to come off the ball and try to, you know, try to pump, just punish people. And that's what they did the other day. And I tell you what, Kamara just looked great in the offense. His ability to, you know, it won't be a one cut kind of slash runner, be powerful in that. I just thought the whole offensive system just looked tremendous. And of course, you know, grain of salt, because it is the Carolina Panthers who picked up, you know, 6-7 guys off the waiver wire and ended up starting most of them. So, you know, you gotta take that into consideration. But the Saints looked really, really good.
Stink, let me ask you this question, because you played in this offense. And I told this to Bob yesterday. It seemed to me that they are moving Derek Carr in the pocket more than certainly a year ago. Derek's always been known as a pocket guy. But they looked as though there were like design-type plays for him to throw the football much more off the waggle. Is that part of this Kubiak system to move the quarterback a little left, a little right, and have him on the move?
Yeah, certainly. It's certainly all the boot game. So off the wide zone handoff, and that's kind of the base. You know, when you start talking about this offense, it's wide zone and it's tight zone, or all the boot keep stuff that comes off of that. So you can get outside the pocket, you eliminate half the field. What you do is you create really easy throws. Normally there's a guy, you know, in the flat, then there's a guy running like a deep corner, and then you're bringing somebody from the opposite side of the field. So a tight end is dragging across on a low cross, and what it creates is this kind of strong side. You know, you change the formation or you change the strength of the passing side, and you create this strong side passing triangle with a flat, you know, a deep and a medium, you know, a medium crosser coming into to the eyesight of the quarterback, and it's half the field. You get three receivers in there, and you know, and they become really easy kind of linear progression throws. And the other thing is, then you can pull up a little bit short. You know, you can pull up off the boot, and you can have throwback systems and everything else. So yeah, it's a big part of what this West Coast slash, you know, boot keep offense, or waggle, as you called it. I always called waggle to the front side, when you open up and, you know, you're a front side run, and boot keep is when you turn your back to the defense, go away from the runner. But regardless, it's shifting the pocket, moving the pocket. And, you know, it's funny, when I was at practice on Friday watching them do a bunch of this stuff, I had forgotten what a great athlete Derek Carr is.
He is
Derek
a good Carr athlete, yeah.
He's a really good athlete, and he throws the ball exceptionally well on the run. So why not take advantage of it? And I think the other thing that happens when you play that system and you do that, you're going to get, now he's always been a high completion percentage guy, right? But all of a sudden, if I'm running, you know, 8-10 boot keeps out the backside or waggles to the front side, you're going to be, if you're doing 12 of those, you're going to be 12 for 12 to start the game. And then if I complete 50% of my other passes, you know, all of a sudden I'm sitting at 75-80% completion percentage, and you know, and I'm at 250 to 350 yards, and you know, we're dominating. But again, all that stuff really comes off the run game and what you do in the run game. And if you're successful in the run game, well, then the boot keep game is going to really open up.
Insider Calls with Mark Schlereffel, brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Mark, Bob, and I, we saw a little bit of San Francisco, the Jets, and we thought about you. Man, it didn't matter if it was McCaffrey or whoever was the running back. Man, they took it to the Jets and just pounded them into submission. And that's a really good defense, and they just had their way with them last night. It was sort of reminiscent a little bit of what we saw Sunday, the way the Saints used the running game to set things up for the passing game.
Yeah, all out of the same tree. You know, all out of that West Coast, Mike Shanahan, Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, Gary Kubiak, Matt LaFleur. It's all out of that tree. And so, you know, they'll run it. It just depends on what personnel groupings you have, right? Some guys want to use multiple tight ends. Some guys want to use a real fullback. Some guys don't want to use a fullback. You know, but it's all out of that tree. And it's all, you know, the derivatives are all the same out of that. And then, of course, there's adjunct to what you want to do. But with Kyle Shanahan, it's all about that run game. It's all about the way they dominate the run game. And, you know, the difference between he and his father is we ran the snot out of the ball as well when I played for his father. But there's a little bit more. We were mostly almost all zone. You know, we'd have a few plays game plan specific plays that we would run. But for the most part, we were 100%, you know, a zone team. Kyle Shanahan has a little bit more depth and volume to his run game. But the thing that they all do, and that Mike Shanahan really kind of started, and it's a shame he's not in the Hall of Fame because he should be. I mean, he is like a lot of what goes on in the NFL. You're probably talking about 65% of the teams in the NFL, maybe more, run this offense. And it was the offense created by Mike Shanahan. And so, you know, it is so prevalent across the league right now. But one of the things that he did so exceptionally well and that Kyle does well and most of these kind of quote-unquote new style West Coast offenses do well is they run the ball efficiently, and off that run game, they end up having, you know, 4, 5, 6 explosives based off their run game. And so, you know, I've been, like, around Kyle, around his father, when he'll be like, hey, listen, we're going to run this play 6 times. This play ain't worth a crap. We're going to run it 6 times. We're going to get about 2 yards of carry, so we're going to get a total of 12 yards. But the adjunct play action off this particular play is going to get Kittle an explosive. It's going to get Ayuk an explosive. It's going to get Deebo Samuel an explosive. And it's going to get, Juszczyk an explosive. And so, you know, that's 5 guys. We're going to get 20 yards or maybe McCaffrey as well. So it's a 5 guys going to get 20 apiece, and there'll be 2 touchdowns off of that. So you're talking about 100 yards passing just off the adjunct play action, and they're all explosives. And you saw it last night, man. They ran enough, you know, front side kind of ISO stuff with Juszczyk and I formation. He's coming off. He's tattooing the linebacker, and this Mason kid is bouncing to the outside, and he's getting yardage, and he's doing all that. And all of a sudden, toward the end of the game, man, they slip that linebacker. You know, comes out there. Juszczyk does like he's going to block him, slips him, and he goes down the sideline on a little rail route, and it's like a 25-30 yard gain right down to about the 2 yard line. That's the 49ers passing game. And every time you watch them, you're like, how in the hell are they getting guys, you know, 13 yards open with nobody around them? Well, it's because of the way they run the ball. That's how that stuff is happening.
Mark, we got all kind of hurricane coverage or tropical storm coverage, but we appreciate your time today, bud. Thanks so much for joining us.
You got it. Take care, guys.
All righty. That was Odyssey NFL Insider Mark Schlereffel.
host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. We'll have more sports talk, weather talk, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long in studio. We doing sports talk, also keeping our eye on Tropical Storm Francine. 65 miles an hour, last report at 4 o'clock, but the wind speed has stayed the same, but the speed of the storm has picked up a bit at 10 miles an hour moving to the northeast. We'll have all that coverage here on the Big 870 WWL. On our Oakwood Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, we have on with us Louisiana Insurance Commissioner Tim Temple. Tim, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Hey, I'm glad to be able to join you this evening. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Tim, the most important thing as Francine sort of rolls in for insurers, and we sort of learned a lot of this from Ida, just make sure you got good pictures of your home, the roof, the outside of your home, inside of your home, because that plays such an important part when you go to your insurance agent and say, hey, listen, this was what happened, the damage part of it. Is that number one priority for most people today to take care of?
Look, as it relates to insurance, you know, first I want to say, you know, regardless, it's still a tropical storm. You're right. I think it was at 65 miles an hour, yeah. And it is certainly forecast to be a hurricane. But look, we need to take this seriously, and let's use this, you know, let's anticipate, you know, the next one that comes. So when it comes, when we're talking about be insurance ready, you know, that's what we're talking about. Take an inventory, and you're right. Look, take pictures, use your camera, take video of your interior, you know, your personal belongings. But like you said, also the exterior, take lots of pictures of your roof, of your siding, of your windows, of your doors, because that will make it easier and be more evidence for you when you do file your claim if you receive damage.
One of the things, too, is the roof part. You know, I still live on the bayou out in the Fouche area, and some people were very lucky. I would say probably like 80% of the homes that had a metal roof, it survived it. There were a few that got damaged, but most of the metal roofs survived. And, you know, we were getting, you know, some pretty good winds down there, anywhere from 120 to 135 into that deal. But the roofing part of it now, and now we hear about this certified roofing and everything, that, 'cause you lose your roof and you lose parts of that, that costs a major damage in your house, especially if everything isn't sealed right. You could have water damage, or possibly you lose your roof, and then you got some real, real problems.
Yeah, look, you're right. And look, those metal roofs are good roofs. They do a good job of keeping your, you know, staying intact and keeping your contents dry. And that's what we're talking about. You know, the fortified roof is what you mentioned earlier. That is a roof that is designed to withstand higher wind speeds. It's got a waterproof barrier as part of the construction process. And it does. And it, look, if you can keep your shingles on your roof, if you can keep your contents dry, you get to get back into your home sooner. You don't lose as much of your personal property, but also, which is important, your community gets to come back better and faster because you're able to come back, your neighbors are able to come back, and it helps the resiliency of your community. So, you know, we're certainly supporting the Fortified Roof Program. And look, you know, the other thing, too, we need to talk about is on this, you know, be insurance ready. Take some time and read your policy and understand what's covered, what's not covered. Understand what your deductible is. You know, a lot of people know that they have a percentage, but you know, you need to do the math and find out exactly what does that equate to you dollar wise, and be prepared to have a plan for that. You know, it's important. And look, I want to make sure and mention too, when we're talking about policies, you know, there's a lot of homeowners policies out there that have a provision for additional living expense. And if you're in an area that has a mandatory evacuation order, you can claim, if your policy has this provision, you can get reimbursed for, you know, some hotel and some meal expense if you are ordered to leave your home.
Tim, I think one of the things too is for a lot of people, sort of where I live at, they had structures outside of their home, okay? If it's a shed or a building, or if maybe they had their place of business there, that's something too. In a policy, you better read over very, very well, or go over that with your insurance agent.
Yeah, and look, your insurance agent can be your best ally when it comes to, one, understanding your policy, but two, understanding when you need to make a claim, you know, how best to make that claim. And I tell people all the time, look, if you have a question, you know, don't ever hesitate to pick up your phone and call your insurance agent, or if you're with a direct writer, you know, call that company representative. And look, ask them the questions. Ask them to explain to you exactly what's covered and what's not under your policy. I think, you know, an informed consumer is the best consumer, because you know what your rights are and you know what the obligations are by the insurance company and yourself. And look, as always, if you ever have any questions, you can always call the Department of Insurance and we will certainly assist.
Tim, last question for you, but flood insurance. I remember paying it many years ago, and it's went up in the rates. But for people that can afford it, that's part of it, because, you know, you think about the policies that are written and everything, and where we live at, okay, we all in a flood zone. Oh, I don't live in a flood zone. What? You live in South Louisiana. You living in a flood zone. It might not be kind of written like that, but all of us who live in Southeast Louisiana, we in a flood zone. That's also a part of the insurance situation happening here in Louisiana.
Yeah, look, flood policies are very important to people in Louisiana, no matter where in Louisiana you live, but especially in South Louisiana. And look, I know we're all extremely disappointed at how this risk rating 2.0 has worked out with these, you know, 100% increases. I mean, I hear some just terrible stories out there on that. And I know that the congressional delegation is fighting to with the feds, to make that program work the way it's intended to. I mean, it's a federal program. It's our money. It's taxpayer money at the end of the day. So we need to make sure that that thing is working right and it's affordable, because it's very important to people in Louisiana, for sure.
Tim, thanks so much for joining us. I'm sure it won't be the last time we talk to you over the next few days, but I appreciate your time and giving us some insights in the insurance business.
Well, look, I'm happy to join you anytime. And look, let me make sure and mention that if you haven't already, you can go to getagameplan.org, and that's got some real good hurricane prevention pre and post hurricane information. And then also LDI, we have a new app. It's called LDI Connect. You can download that on your phone, and that will give you a lot of good insurance information. And just let me know when you want me to come back. I'd be happy to.
Thanks so much, Tim. I appreciate it, buddy.
Y'all be safe. Thank you.
All righty. Tim Temple, Louisiana Insurance Commissioner. And now we're going to go back to our Oakwood Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. We'll have on with us the president of Plaque back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870. Mike DeTellier along with Charlie Long in studio. We're doing Sports Talk. Also, keeping our eye on Tropical Storm Francine. 65 miles an hour, last report at 4 o'clock, but the wind speed has stayed the same, but the speed of the storm has picked up a bit at 10 miles an hour moving to the northeast. We'll have all that coverage here on the Big 870 WWL. On our Oakwood Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, we have on with us Louisiana Insurance Commissioner Tim Temple. Tim, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Hey, I'm glad to be able to join you this evening. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Tim, the most important thing as Francine sort of rolls in for insurers, and we sort of learned a lot of this from Ida, just make sure you got good pictures of your home, the roof, the outside of your home, inside of your home, because that plays such an important part when you go to your insurance agent and say, hey, listen, this was what happened, the damage part of it. Is that number one priority for most people today to take care of?
Look, as it relates to insurance, you know, first I want to say, you know, regardless, it's still a tropical storm. You're right. I think it was at 65 miles an hour, yeah. And it is certainly forecast to be a hurricane. But look, we need to take this seriously, and let's use this, you know, let's anticipate, you know, the next one that comes. So when it comes, when we're talking about be insurance ready, you know, that's what we're talking about. Take an inventory, and you're right. Look, take pictures, use your camera, take video of your interior, you know, your personal belongings. But like you said, also the exterior. Take lots of pictures of your roof, of your siding, of your windows, of your doors, because that will make it easier and be more evidence for you when you do file your claim if you receive damage.
One of the things, too, is the roof part. You know, I still live on the bayou out in the Fouche area, and some people were very lucky. I would say probably like 80% of the homes that had a metal roof, it survived it. There were a few that got damaged, but most of the metal roofs survived. And, you know, we were getting, you know, some pretty good winds down there, anywhere from 120 to 120, 135 into that deal. But the roofing part of it now, and now we hear about this certified roofing and everything, that because you lose your roof and you lose parts of that, that costs some major damage in your house, especially if everything isn't sealed right. You could have water damage, or possibly you lose your roof, and then you got some real, real problems.
Yeah, look, you're right. And look, those metal roofs are good roofs. They do a good job of keeping your, you know, staying intact and keeping your contents dry. And that's what we're talking about. You know, the fortified roof is which you mentioned earlier. That is a roof that is designed to withstand higher wind speeds. It's got a waterproof barrier as part of the construction process, and it does. And it, look, if you can keep your shingles on your roof, if you can keep your contents dry, you get to get back into your home sooner. You don't lose as much of your personal property, but also, which is important, your community gets to come back better because you're able to come back, your neighbors are able to come back, and it helps the resiliency of your community. So, you know, we're certainly supporting the Fortified Roof Program. And look, you know, the other thing, too, we need to talk about is on this, you know, be insurance ready. Take some time and read your policy and understand what's covered, what's not covered. Understand what your deductible is. You know, a lot of people know that they have a percentage, but, you know, you need to do the math and find out exactly what does that equate to you dollar-wise, and be prepared to have a plan for that. You know, it's important. And look, I want to make sure and mention, too, when we're talking about policies, you know, there's a lot of homeowners policies out there that have a provision for additional living expense. And if you're in an area that has a mandatory evacuation order, you can claim, if your policy has this provision, you can get reimbursed for, you know, some hotel and some meal expense if you are ordered to leave your home.
Tim, I think one of the things, too, is for a lot of people, sort of where I live at, they had structures outside of their home, okay? If it's a shed or a building, or if maybe they had their place of business there, that's something, too, in a policy you better read over very, very well, or go over that with your insurance agent.
Yeah, and look, your insurance agent can be your best ally when it comes to, one, understanding your policy, but two, understanding when you need to make a claim, you know, how best to make that claim. And I tell people all the time, look, if you have a question, you know, don't ever hesitate to pick up your phone and call your insurance agent, or if you're with a direct writer, you know, call that company representative. And look, ask them the questions. Ask them to explain to you exactly what's covered and what's not under your policy. I think, you know, an informed consumer is the best consumer, because you know what your rights are and you know what the obligations are by the insurance company and yourself. And look, as always, if you ever have any questions, you can always call the Department of Insurance and we will certainly assist.
Tim, last question for you, but flood insurance. I remember paying it many years ago, and it's went up in the rates. But for people that can afford it, that's part of it, because, you know, you think about the policies that are written and everything, and where we live at, okay, we all in a flood zone. Oh, I don't live in a flood zone. What? You live in South Louisiana. You living in a flood zone. It might not be kind of written like that, but all of us who live in Southeast Louisiana, we in a flood zone. That's also a part of the insurance situation happening here in Louisiana.
Yeah, look, flood policies are very important to people in Louisiana, no matter where in Louisiana you live, but especially in South Louisiana. And look, I know we're all extremely disappointed at how this risk rating 2.0 has worked out with these, you know, 100% increases. I mean, I hear some just terrible stories out there on that. And I know that the congressional delegation is fighting to with the feds to make that program work the way it's intended to. I mean, it's a federal program. It's our money. It's taxpayer money at the end of the day. So we need to make sure that that thing is working right and it's affordable, because it's very important to people in Louisiana for sure.
Tim, thanks so much for joining us. I'm sure it won't be the last time we talk to you over the next few days, but I appreciate your time and giving us some insights in the insurance business.
Well, look, I'm happy to join you anytime. And look, let me make sure and mention that if you haven't already, you can go to getagameplan.org, and that's got some real good hurricane prevention pre and post hurricane information, and then also LDI. We have a new app. It's called LDI Connect. You can download that on your phone, and that will give you a lot of good insurance information. And just let me know when you want me to come back. I'd be happy to.
Thanks so much, Tim. I appreciate it, buddy.
Y'all be safe. Thank you.
All righty. Tim Temple, Louisiana Insurance Commissioner. And now we're going to go back to our Oakwood Heart Jewelers talk and text line. We'll have on with us the president of Plaquemines Parish, Keith Hinckley. Keith, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Keith, I heard Governor Bush, when he was in Florida, say, here we go again. But we've been through this before. And, you know, for you guys, I live in Lafourche, so Plaquemines, we're not too far away. The storm surge, because for most of us, I think, you know, if it's 75, 80 mile an hour winds at the highest, you know, most homes can withstand that. You're always concerned about tidal surge. What are they telling you about Plaquemines? Because we don't know exactly where the entry will be. Looks as though possibly a St. Mary Terrebonne somewhere in that particular area. But tidal surge is such a big part of where I live and where you live at.
That's true. Thanks for having me, Mike. But you're right. And that's one of the big things that we've been looking at, you know, throughout the day, and what you always kind of focus on. And we have to look at it in two different areas, you know, because the river running through the middle of Plaquemines Parish, we've got on the west bank side, we're looking at a surge of 4 foot to 7 foot. And on the east bank, we're looking at a surge of 3 to 5 feet. Now, we've got a very vulnerable area that's in the middle of the parish on the west bank, which is from Laura Seat down to the Diamond Jump. You know, there's a large NOV levee project that's going on right now, but it's not finished. And they're in the probably about 75 or 80% complete, but we got some very vulnerable areas there, and that's what's making us nervous for that area with that 4 to 7 foot. But we feel pretty good about it, because there's a lot of pits, borrow pits in that area, and they've all been drained down. So with this 4 to 7, we're hoping it'll stay on the lower side, and you know, and when some of these levees get topped, you know, it's not a complete 4 foot that's coming over it. If you've got a 4 foot levee, or then we've got a 5 foot surge, that's only 12 inches or a foot that's coming over. So, and it's not a total of 4 feet. So we feel comfortable with it, but you never can let your guard down. Now on the east bank, we've got a section of Highway 39 that's about 4 miles of area that has no back levee. It's open, and they call it the fog line. And we feel comfortable with that road. It would take a 6 foot surge for the road to come underwater, and they're only predicting a 3 foot to 5 foot surge at that area.
Everybody asks about pumping stations and capacity there. And so give us a little rundown on everything. Because I know no matter where you live in South Louisiana, all our pumps are online. Everything's working good. Tell us what's happening at Plaquemines Parish from a pumping standpoint. Not that we're expecting a ton of rain, but if you got onto one of those thunderstorms, and man, it comes down, we know it just a certain amount can be pumped out in an hour, and these grounds are saturated today. And so it becomes a major, major issue.
Oh, and the ground is saturated. I was down in the lower end of the parish on the West Bank side, down in Empire earlier, and on the ride up, it was a deluge, and it continues to rain there as we speak. So the pump operators, they've been pumping down all day long. When you take a look at all of our pump stations, on the East Bank, we've got five stations. Three out of the five are at 100%. The other two are at 66%, which the capacity at 66%, that's sufficient to, to be able to pump the water out. And they all have backup generators and, they're electric pumps, but the generators are all working and they're ready to go. On the West Bank side, on the north end, there's about seven stations, and five out of the seven, they're at 100%. And the one in Belchase, it's Belchase 2 off of Woodland Highway, it's at 66%, which is still capable of handling all of the pumping capacity for the Belchase area. In fact, Belchase 2 really doesn't pump much of the water. Belchase 1 pretty well handles the majority of the water in the Belchase area. And then when we go the south, again, there's two, four, six, seven, eight stations, and seven out of the eight are at 100%. So we're pretty confident with the pumping capacity that we're able to do. It's just a matter of manning the stations, Mike, and being there and taking care of business at hand. And the guys and the ladies are there today, like I said a few minutes ago. They're pumping them down and they're prepping and getting ready for, if there is any potential hard rains.
Keith, just like if it's in South Terrebonne or Lafourche, same thing in South Plaquemine, people understand the water situation. They've been through this before, and they know when to leave. Now, there's always going to be, the kind of out-of-the-mix ones that try to ride this out. But if you're told to leave, you have to leave at this point. The worst part of all this for me is would be another shift more to the east with this storm.
Yeah, and it seems to like it's having that tendency to do. And we just had a 4 o'clock. We just had a 4 o'clock update from the National Weather Service, and it had a slight hitch lean to the east, but not much. And we're still comfortable with the strategy that we've got and where we are. But I'd be like what you're saying, Mike. You got to take heed, and
and they've been through it before
around you, because like a Category 1 today is not like a Category 1 of years ago. That's when true. You had a lot of marsh to be able to knock down those surges and that wind and all.
Yeah, absolutely, because man, we used to cross that bridge. When you're traveling in South Lafourche Parish and into Jefferson, and man, there was marsh all over. Now there ain't nothing but the Gulf. I mean, that's all that's there. There's the water, and same thing in your parts. Keith, thanks so much for joining us. I know it's a busy day and time for you, but we appreciate your time and efforts here to give out the facts and information for Plaquemines Parish. And I'm sure we'll be in touch with you quite a few more times.
Mike, I appreciate the opportunity, man. You have a good evening.
Thank you so much. That was the president of Plaquemines Parish, Keith Hinckley. We'll be back with more sports talk and finish it off in hour number two right after this break. We're finishing up here in hour number two of sports talk, weather talk on the Big 870 WWL. When we return back, Steve Geller will join us in the 6 o'clock hour, and he'll have on with us Chad Parsons from Under the Helmet Fantasy Football for the Believe Network. He'll join us here on the Big 870 WWL. Also to Archie Chasson, 6:35, president of Lafourche Parish. And at 7 o'clock tonight, it'll be the Saints Hour with Mike Haas. His guest tonight will be
Kai Harley, the wizard behind the Saints salary cap and getting them under. Kai knows all the numbers involved with that. He joins Mike tonight on the Saints Hour at 7 o'clock. We'll be back with more sports talk and weather talk right after this news break on the Big 870 WWL.
This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.